morning I woke up and realized that I am going to go on the strength of your prayers and God's power. I'm fighting a cold, so keep praying. Feeling very weak in body this morning. So we're going to talk about awakening our potential some more. We had a good start to that last night with Susie sharing. So when we think about our lives and think about how you respond to someone when they ask you how you're doing, we say, busy. You ever said that? Busy. Common. And it sounds rather accomplished and kind of important. Busy surely means that I am needed and successful. So as women of God, we are busy to the point of feeling a little bit crazy. But being busy is no different than what the world is. They're also busy. So unless our busyness, we are filling the purpose that God has given us in his kingdom, it's not any different than the world. So we want to live with purpose. Purpose is just so much different than running around and doing things. It is a well-thought-out direction, and it has an end goal. There's a reason that you do what you do when you're purposeful. It's very intentional. So today I want to encourage us to look at our noise as a woman and all of our activities and our motion and see if it's well thought out and intentional. In Christ, we'd recognize that each one of us have a calling. We do have a purpose. Sometimes we mechanically move from one job to the next as it comes to you in life, not really examining what we're doing. And my notes are out of order. See if I can find the right page. So an example of myself, years ago when I was a young widow, I began to sell rubber stamps and to bring in a little side income. I taught stamping classes, and I bought wholesale and resold rubber stamps. I spent hours designing cards. I would send lots of notes to others that was meant as an encouragement to them, which could be a good thing, but it got to a point where I'd spend an hour making a beautiful card, and then I hoped they wouldn't just read it and throw it in the trash. For me, at that time in my life, I put too much time into rubber stamping and designing my cards. I got caught up in rubber stamping. It didn't have a kingdom purpose or a direction of where it was going. And in the process, I had managed to collect 1,000 stamps. Really. But then I lost heart for what I was doing, and it wasn't long until I was ready to sell most of that collection. It was not what I was called to do. My time was frittered away with busy hands, and my rubber stamping lacked a deeper purpose. So sometimes we need to take a step back in our lives and really question absolutely every activity that we're doing. Ask yourself some deep questions on our why. Why am I doing this? What is my motivation behind it? Is it an escape for what I really should be doing? So why do I redecorate my house often? Why do I have this hobby? Why do I run to town every week? Why do I scroll my phone? Why do I clean house every Friday or read this book? Why don't I spend time in the Word of God? Why don't I know I am doing what I'm called? Why don't I seek God in my life? So does what I'm doing bring me closer to Christ or help others to be drawn to him? Obviously, there's activities that are necessary for a provision. The laundry does have to be done, as well as meals on the table. But perhaps I can do those mundane and necessary chores in a way that is more fitting. The Lord tells us to redeem the time. The things I'm spending the bulk of my time and my energy and resources on, are they what God has called me to do? Even our necessary chores of cleaning and cooking and such can be taken to an extreme and brings us outside of the purpose that God plans for us. Enjoying what God has given us is okay. I'm not talking about the things that we do on occasional downtime. We need to simply enjoy life. I believe that God would desire us to enjoy life, but not make it a playground with no purpose. If I'm busy filling my own pleasure in most of what I do, I'm probably missing the abundance of life God intends for me. What fills you? What gives you the deep satisfaction of knowing that you were in the Lord by doing what you do? How do we as women, wives, and mothers lead a life to our fullest potential? A life that's centered on that abundance of Christ. God longs for us to be full of Christ and full of his abundance. We know that in our heads, that God wants us to have that abundant life, and yet we flounder and we struggle to know that we're walking in the abundance. As a young woman, I know I didn't have much vision. My main thought about my future was to marry and have children. That's not a wrong thought. It's no different than the world in many cases. But it is a God-given desire, because most of us are called to be a wife and a mother, and it's a high calling. But perhaps I limited myself by not looking beyond that box. In many of our Anabaptist backgrounds, we've been taught a connotation that anything a woman does outside of her home is worldly and not her place. So you may find yourself as a woman wishing to go beyond your home and struggling with what's considered proper to do beyond caring for your home and family. You may have a longing to learn to do things outside of that keepers at home box that we've all grown up in. So I'd like you to raise your hands if any of you have ever dreamed of owning a store of any kind. Ever play that as a little girl? A high percentage of us have. So it's a real desire. You really do wish to do something. Who gives us our desires? It's often the Lord that gives us those desires. And they often go beyond the doors of our house, beyond being that wife and mother that God has called us to. So I want to draw a picture of what we think of in that traditional box. Not used to these doojobbies. There we go. Sometimes there's underwritten rules that we as godly women are expected to stay in. And then there's fences with those rules. And so we need to recognize the fences and why they are there. So I'm going to write the things that we're all very familiar with when we think about a woman and what she may do. Would we all agree that these words of baking, cooking, cleaning, children, husband, garden very much describes our lives? Mopping the floors. So some women are called to this exact spot and not beyond it. They can fulfill their abundant life right there in the house. That's where she belongs, or maybe it's her season of life to be right there. But there's other women that look at this closed box and it ties our hands. We feel like we're limited in what we can do. So I'd like to give an example of that in a woman that I know personally. Her husband opened a retail store, and he asked his wife to work alongside of him. She was good at it. She enjoyed doing the bookwork, and the husband was not good at the bookwork, and she helped with operating that store. The local congregation came to her and made it really clear that if she was going to work in the store with her husband, she may not ask the young women and mothers of her congregation to help her with the housework. The unspoken and understood idea was, if you stay at home, you can have help. But if you work outside of the home, don't ask us to help. I feel like sometimes we have grown up in that understanding. So there's a danger in this closed box. We can get so internally focused in our teaching that we can't even exercise our spiritual gifts. So I don't want you to misunderstand me in all of this either. Every woman with a husband and family needs to have a heart for her home. It doesn't excuse us from that. When we choose marriage, we already have chosen minister to our husband and our children. It's not an option. So we're called to be a helpmeet to our husbands, to bless him, to stay under that direction. We also need to have a heart for our children. Make sure your heart is right for where he has called you. If you're a young woman and you're under your parents' direction, your first calling is to follow Christ with the blessing of your parents. God has a place for you at home. If the Lord wants you ministering beyond that, he's big enough to open doors through your parents into whatever he's called you to. But there's that danger. Well, let's go back to our box of living what's expected of us within the area of life any area of life, we can get a world view. It can be a traditional view, and it doesn't allow for any variation. We can feel really safe there. It can be comfortable to fit in that mold, but we can also feel trapped by tradition. So the closed box has a tendency to accept the extreme boundaries because there's no outside influence, and the box can begin to shrink. For some of us women, when we look at this box and understand some of the thoughts behind that, we feel like it's a restricted area. And so not all of us fit that traditional mold that has that perfect square around the home and just includes the home. I know I personally do not fit that box. God is bigger than you think. Okay? He's bigger than the box that traditions put around us. So I'm going to draw more on this box. We're going to add some doors and some windows. And we have influence of the things around us beyond tradition. Another page out of order. So we always need to question the influence that we have that's outside of the Word of God, and we need to examine that for truth. Does it pass the test of walking in Christ? Books, both traditional and new, need to be tested in the Word of God. Things like YouTube, Facebook, the influences of friends, all needs to be under scrutiny. So a woman can be working outside of her home in mission work. Talked about retail and other businesses. What about midwifery? Or writing a blog? Real estate? Writing? Catering? These can be outside influences in a lot of ways in our lives. So, do you feel like that could be part of our life? There's so many more things we could write on the outside of that box. Does that challenge you as a woman of God and a Titus woman, a Titus 2 woman that's spoken of as being a keeper at home? So let's read Titus 2. The aged woman, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So we don't want to blaspheme the word of God. It is serious. We need to know what the word of God has to say. We're quite familiar with Titus 2. We've heard it a lot of times in our lives as wives and mothers. And it underlines that thought of honoring our husbands and fathers, walking Christ-like, and having a home that fills your calling. The two words, keeper at home, means to guard her dwelling. So in a practical sense, when you think about that as women, we're to be fully aware of all the activities that go on in your home. That definition of being a keeper at home definitely fits the first box that we drew up there. What else is in the Word of God as far as women and how much we are within God's will to do? Lydia in Acts 16:14, it says, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. So she's described as a maker of purple. Historically, a maker of purple was used for royalty or the wealthy. So what would have been her contacts? If she was selling purple, did she deal with the low people? Did she deal with the common people? I tend to think she didn't. So is it possible that she actually dealt with stewards of the king? Did she have to ship her purple products? don't know, but it's a thought that she was involved with business. But it also says that she was walking with Christ. That's the most important. Romans 16:2 talks about Phoebe. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become as saints, and that ye assist her in whatever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succor to many, and myself also. So she's first of all described as a sister and servant of the church, and that believers are encouraged not to only receive her, but to assist her in her business. It sounds like she was traveling outside of her home area, so she needed the help of the locals with her work, whatever that was. It doesn't tell us what it was. And then there's Dorcas in Acts 9. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. She died, and Peter came to heal her. You're all familiar with this account as well. The community and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing him the coats and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Dorcas was definitely filling her life with purpose and abundance, very possibly right outside the walls of her home. So Proverbs 31, you know we had to go there. Let's see how well that fits in the keepers at home box. So we're very familiar with it. She has her husband's trust. She works cheerfully. She was not lazy. She gives to those in need. She cares for her family's needs. She speaks wisdom and kindness, and her children and husband praise her. Such a perfect picture of a woman. Have you ever wondered if you can even begin to measure up to the Proverbs 31 woman? Has it ever intimidated you? I know it has me. So we're familiar with the traditional way of the Proverbs 31 woman, but I want us to dig a little deeper in Proverbs 31. Verse 16, she considers a field and she buys it. Wait a minute, she was in real estate. Okay, she had dealings with others outside of her home. With the fruits of her hands, she planted the vineyard. She had a garden. Well, actually, it sounds more like commercial farming. She has a whole vineyard. That's beyond a few vines that it takes for a family. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. She was in retail? She had merchandise. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it. And it was of excellent quality. Could a modern-day Proverbs woman operate a factory? She delivered girdles to the merchant. I wonder how many tents she had in the market. She had linen and girdles, and she possibly had wine. This is just what the Lord tells us about her life. She was definitely a woman working in multiple areas. She had fruits to show what kind of woman she was. Her children and her husband praised her. The love tanks of her family were not lacking. Her heart was still present in the home, even with all of her business dealings and things that she had oversight of. So we see that Scripture does say that we need to take care of our husband and our children. That first box is necessary. We need to be the woman in our home. But for some of us, our calling goes beyond that atypical keeper at home. So what he calls you to do, he gives you power to do it and to do it well. As a wife and a mother, you already called to be that wife and mother. Don't neglect it. If you're a young mother changing two or three children's diapers and expecting more babies, your cup is very possibly quite full. And it may be enough. It is a full life, and it can be abundant with the purpose in itself. Yet life has seasons. Proverbs 31 woman probably didn't do all of that in the same year. It is possible that God has called you to a purpose that is different in the abundance than you ever imagined. Remember, God's thoughts are much bigger than your thoughts, and he's even bigger than your highest dreams. If God can truly call you, then he will give you the power to live it. He often confirms that calling in your father or your husband and those around you. If you are called beyond the walls of your home, you need to walk in it. But I'm going to encourage you to tread softly. Be very sure of that calling. If God has not called you to a busy work that you're involved in, it can actually take away from your abundance. It can be a distraction to what's best for you and your family. It's not a place you want to be. You need to guard your heart and your home. Galatians 5 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and not be entangled again with that yoke of bondage. You have a liberty in Christ, the liberty to walk in him." So many times people put pressure on us to fit inside of a box that they are comfortable with. And we overlook the talents of others and the strengths of others. We can believe a lie both ways. To think that I am only a wife and mother is a lie. Remember that the God of the universe has called you to that position. Or we can pick up the Hollywood idea that we are a princess and that you can do anything you want. That does not fit the teachings of Christ. Both thoughts, only a housewife and I can do anything because I'm a princess, are a ditch. Both can bring you into bondage. Your liberty in Christ is to do what you're called by Christ to do. Young mother serving your family with its many demanding needs, walk in the power of Christ in that capacity. Young woman serving your family as a single, walk in the power of Christ. Woman of God serving your family and beyond, walk in the power of Christ. Are you truly called to more than the walls of your home? Then follow Christ in that calling, but don't use it as an excuse to fill your flesh. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Tread softly, ladies, when you're judging another woman. Is she a homemaker? Bless her. Is she in business? Bless her. Ask her how you can pray for her. I expect that the woman you are looking at has challenges that you have never thought of. Encourage her to her fullest potential. Ask her about her spiritual gifts and how she arrived at the place she is. Learn her story. Learn from her how God is showing himself strong in the work that he has given her. You just might be surprised at the journey that she has had. Your sister's house may look differently than yours. Since I've been stretched in business and in writing, my house is not as clean and tidy as I would like it to be. I am a far cry from Pinterest perfect. Nor do I spend as much time crafting my meals as I used to. And at times, my brain is still mulling over words or a business situation when I sit down to eat with my family. But I have abundance. My husband is home, and he is spending time with us daily. Our marriage relationship has seen a special added dimension since Al is at home and working, and I wouldn't give that up. When I felt called to write a blog and to start a business, my husband was in complete support. That does not mean it hasn't had challenges, many of them, but it hasn't been an area of contention between us. He rejoices with me, and then he helps me sort through the difficult situations that I face in business. If you're called, God equips you and moves the hearts of those around you to make it possible. If God is in it, his power is there to lead a fully abundant life. Romans 16:25, God has the power to establish you. Don't limit the power of God in your life by saying, I can't. Don't believe the lie that tells you that you cannot do anything in the kingdom of God. Don't believe the lie that you have no ministry or mission in the Lord. Exercise your spiritual gift. When you were born again, God gave you a spiritual gift. Now use it. Purposely pursue God's gift. Stop being just busy. God desires us to live a life of abundance in him, not just in our head, but in our heart and in our walk. I'm not talking about the atypical American dream of owning everything you want in a fat bank account. That's not what abundance is in Christ. I'm speaking of the life so full of Christ that we're filling our purpose and we see the abundance of the Holy Spirit's work in our life. To abound means to possess great quantity. It's a fountain, so it's flowing, moving water that's constantly being renewed. That's God's abundance in our life. It's overflowing. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. So it comes with faithfulness. Romans 15:13, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That power is available when we're in the center of God's will in our life. 2 Corinthians 8:7, ye abound in everything, faith, utterance, knowledge, diligence. God wants to grow us in that faith. to have a way to communicate for his kingdom and to have knowledge to do that. 2 Corinthians 9:8, we can abound to every good work. He has a work for you to abound in. 2 Peter 1:8, these things be in you and abound. Ye should be neither barren nor unfruitful. We want that fruit for the kingdom of God. All of these verses are about power and abundant living. If this is God's heart for you as his child, then we better be listening up to walk in that power and abundance. Where does it come from? Sit at the feet of Jesus. See him, not the world around you, not what your sister thinks. Jesus. So do you sit quietly at the feet of Jesus and ask him what he sees in you? Are you brave enough to do that? And then for me, I struggle to shut up and listen. I ask, and then I keep rattling on, and I don't listen. Listen for the answer. You might be surprised. No matter what his answer is, it will bless you because it's coming from him. What if all this abundance that God wants to give you is never seen in your life because you're not willing to ask what he wants you to do? Or perhaps you already know where he's calling you and you're not willing to give up your own pursuit. What is your first love? We can be so changed to this world. My possessions, my goals, my preferences, that we don't want to break those chains to mind God's call. Everything in our life passes away except for the souls that are around you. Just where does your abundance lie? It is very possible that what God is calling you to do is difficult and does not make any worldly sense. His ways are higher than your ways. Take a look at Esther. She's one of my favorites too. She was a Jewish child who lost her parents at an early age. Her uncle Mordecai raised her. She would have had the same desires as all of her fellow Hebrew women to marry Hebrew and have that traditional family. Instead, because of her beauty, she was ripped from her home and placed in a situation where she could very possibly become a concubine. She had no promise of being anything more than an occasional bed partner. She had no promise of being the queen. Her dreams were shattered. Her situation made no sense. Yet Esther made choices in that. Esther lived with the palace brats. She lived for her Lord. It would not have been easy to have that sweet spirit about her, and yet people were attracted to her because she stood out above the rest. The choices she made were difficult and an unwanted position, and yet she had an abundance beyond herself and beyond her situation. What God had called her to was difficult. It was extreme. Yet God called her for such a time as this. She was crowned queen only to have her life threatened and ignored by her husband. Still, God called her for such a time as this. She was exactly where God wanted her. God used her in a mighty way to preserve her own Hebrew people. Are you in a difficult place? Are you shining in spite of your circumstances? God can give you abundance right where you are. In Luke, we're told the account of Peter obeying when it made no sense. Jesus said, "Let down your nets." To Peter, it must have seemed absurd. After all, he was the experienced fisherman. Peter knew this lake. He had just worked it all night long, and to no avail. Jesus commanded in the early hour of the day, but it didn't make any sense. Peter obeyed, and he reaped abundance. What God asks you to do may not line up with human reasoning, but it is full of divine purpose. Launch out into the deep and that abundant water of life and take that step of faith. The rewards for obeying God are neither futile or skimpy. Peter got a net so full of fish that he couldn't handle it. But first, he had to launch out into those deep waters of faith. He had to trust and surrender to Jesus' command. We will never realize the blessings of abundance if we do not take that step of faith. Jeremiah 32:27 says, Is anything too hard for me? Could my own belief or lack of belief be the hindrance of a life of abundance? Ephesians 4:1, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. For some of you women, that may mean stop doing something that you are involved with and focus on your home and family. For others, it may mean to get out and do something different than you have ever done before. God desires you to be established in your faith and abounding. Sit at the feet of Jesus and be surrendered to him is the excellent way for each one of you. This is where you will be fruitful. Sitting at the feet of Jesus is where your full potential lies and where you will have that abundance. Any thoughts or questions? He is faithful. Right. Yes. Thank you. are very different. I'd like to draw a picture. You mentioned the balance in our life, and I think that is another area that we have a wrong picture of what balance is, because, hello, life is not balanced. Life is always throwing us for a loop.